This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Registered dietitian Susan Kundrat is with us today. She joins us once a month, usually on the first Monday of the month, to talk about diet and nutrition. So if you've got a question, give us a call and talk to Susan. Here are the numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Susan Kundrat is a sports and wellness nutritionist and the owner of Nutrition on the Move. She specializes in developing personalized nutrition plans for athletes and the general public. She's an adjunct lecturer with the Food Science and Human Nutrition Department at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. She's a frequent contributor to magazines on health and fitness, and she is the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips, the publisher Coach's Choice. You'll find Susan on the web at www.nutritiononthemove.net. Questions about diet and nutrition are invited this afternoon. The phone numbers 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. And by the way, this afternoon when you call in, we'll get a first name and we'll get a telephone number from you. And later in the program, we'll have a giveaway. What we're going to do is we'll put all those names in a hat and pull a name out. And the winner will receive a copy of Susan's book, 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. 333-WILL, 800-222. WILL. Good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you. Very good. Thank you.
Did you enjoy yesterday?
Oh, boy, did I. It was a wonderful day.
Everybody was out, weren't they?
Everybody was out. It was, I couldn't believe when they said maybe 50s, and then when I looked and it was 65 or so. So it was amazing.
T-shirt weather.
It was. It was great to be outside.
Yeah, it was a nice, it was really nice to do it because now we're waiting for another blast of winter. So, and here we sit at 34 degrees.
It's amazing.
Well, we've already got a listener who would like to talk with you. So let's go and take this call. Listener in Champaign, line one. Hi.
Hi. I need to move, and I have several years of Nutrition Action Health Letter, and I would like to find a good home for them. Do you have any suggestions?
Wow, that would be a wonderful gift for someone. The Nutrition Action Health Letter is a fantastic newsletter, as you know well.
It is great. And it's short so that you can sit down and read the main article and, you know.
Right, right. Well, I'm wondering if maybe the public health department would be a good place to have that because it would be great to have in waiting rooms and also perhaps as a resource for staff there. So that might be one place that I might suggest.
The food bank, maybe?
Oh, the food bank would be a great place, yeah.
Eastern Illinois Food Bank, another possibility.
Right. That would be a good possibility, too. And certainly another place might be just one of the local schools, particularly a high school, because the information in that is would be great for high school students, health classes.
Or the library in the building.
Right, the library in the building. There are also some of the schools that I know have contacted me for information. One of them is Home High, which is one of the girls' schools. And that might be a really good place, too, because they, I know for a fact, they have been interested in incorporating more nutrition. But I bet any of those places would be fantastic.
Yeah, if they'll take them.
Yeah, well, you got to ask. Yeah, but I would think that among those possibilities, you'd have a taker there somewhere.
Oh, sure.
I would hope because I don't want to move them, but they are great resources.
Right. And if by chance you you don't find someone, I would be able to use them with my athletes on campus for a resource, too. So if you find that that's not working,
get
then I could
touch
keep them.
With Susan at Nutrition on the Move.
So sure. As a last resort, I can call you?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely, because I have resources I put together for our U of I athletes as well, and so I would definitely put them to use, too.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, if you'd like to talk with registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. We also have an 800 number, a toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Well, did you come today with anything in particular that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I did. March is National Nutrition Month. And I was looking back on how many years we've had National Nutrition Month. It's actually sponsored by the American Dietetic Association, which is our big organization. I think there are over 65,000 dietitians and diet technicians and other folks who belong to the ADA. And it's been since 1973, so that's amazing. So March, when March comes around, I always think of spring, but I always think of nutrition because it's National Nutrition Month. So one of the things that the ADA or the American Dietetic Association is really trying to get out, you know, the facts on this year is thinking about nutrition as their slogan this year is it's a matter of fact. In other words, really there are a lot of simple things that you can do. And I think people do sometimes get confused about nutrition because of all the new things that are coming out. And I've got a couple examples. Today I just pulled off the wire of new nutrition studies and things. And it can be confusing, but I think the thing that's so exciting about nutrition as well is the idea that it is changing is a good thing, because actually we're just finding out more and more things. And it doesn't really have to take away from our base of eating, you know, primarily a plant-based diet, primarily more fruits and vegetables, things we talk about all the time, local food if you can, and more whole grains and fruits and veggies. And all this research that comes out doesn't necessarily take away from that. It just gives us an opportunity to perhaps enhance how we eat even more. And I think that's a good message to get out, that the ADA is really talking about how for each of us it's important to kind of take a step back. Maybe March is a good time to do that, especially if you've tried to make some changes in the new year, and it's really a good time to kind of reflect on how you are eating. ADA talks about having a nutrition checkup, whether you're doing that yourself or whether you're working with a registered dietitian, to just take an assessment of how you're eating. And with all we know about nutrition and research now, we know there are so many ways that you can do little things that really overall will decrease your risk of disease and enhance your health. So I think it's a time to really be, you know, looking at small ways that you can make changes that will really make a difference.
Yeah, you want to give us an example or two of little changes that you can make?
Sure. One change might be, and I'll give you an example of a client I'm working with right now who eats fast food a lot. A very simple thing you can do when you eat fast food is, instead of getting the biggie meals, just get a grilled sandwich. And if you need more, maybe you get a grilled sandwich and you get a kid's meal. Because with a kid's meal, you can always get, for example, at McDonald's, apples and milk. So right away you enhance what you're doing nutrition-wise, because just thinking about trying to get some of these food groups taken care of. And anytime you could maybe get milk or 100% juice as opposed to soda is great. Anytime you can add a fruit as opposed to fries is a great way to do it. And so there are simple things that we can do even eating fast food. Sometimes people will tell me, gosh, you know, you eat at Taco Bell or McDonald's. And I said, well, gosh, you can pick out good things anywhere you eat. But you do want to still think about that balance, bringing in a side salad or getting a yogurt parfait or having mandarin oranges at another place. You know, there's just things that you can do that are simple and easy and just as inexpensive as having French fries. But the total composition of your whole meal then has changed. And
yeah, at a lot of the In-N-Out restaurants now, they offer baked chips.
Right.
They offer milk. They offer yogurt. They offer fruit. So,
and that's easy. And I think, you know, another real simple thing people can do if they really want to try to cut down on soda is think about, can they drink something that still tastes good to them? For example, maybe they don't drink that much water, but they would drink iced tea, which is very healthy, which we know can be very beneficial with extra antioxidants. Or maybe taking a diet soda and splitting it with a little teeny bit of pomegranate juice or even grape juice. And that way you get more flavor, but you're not getting all the sugar from a regular soda. So I think just trying things, I think that's part of what we try to do with nutrition, is be open to trying new ideas and new foods and new flavors. And people are often really surprised at what they end up liking.
Okay, let's take another call.
Sounds good.
Listener in Urbana, line one, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
On Saturday, there was a program about pharmacy, I think. Do you know that program?
Oh, Saturday afternoon on AM 580,
yeah.
The People's Pharmacy.
Yes. And there was a man on there talking about he never eats anything out of a can because of some way that the can is made. I think he was talking about phenol. I don't know if that word came up a lot. And so I was wondering what your guest thinks about not eating anything out of a can.
Well, I don't know that I would take such a hard approach to that myself personally, but I understand perhaps why people do. I think when you look at what you're eating, you certainly want to try to get as many fresh foods as possible. So, for example, yes, if you can eat mostly fresh vegetables and fresh fruits and foods that are naturally prepared without with minimal processing, I think that's great. I don't know how practical that is for everyone that I work with. And I think if you have a canned item a few times a week, to me, I wouldn't worry personally, nutritionally or from a food safety angle or a toxicology angle or anything like that. But I do think it does bring an idea that getting back to more natural foods, I think, is really helpful, getting back to whole foods. And simply because we know from a lot of research that you get so many other benefits when the food is fresh. And on the other hand, there are foods, for example, tomato paste or canned tomatoes, where certain nutrients like lycopene are much more concentrated in those foods than they are in a fresh tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when they're cooked or when they're heated, those nutrients might be more absorbed than if they're fresh. So I think it's important to, you know, have a variety of foods. I like the idea of trying to get most, when you go to the store, trying to get most of your produce fresh, but maybe buying a few frozen items and a few canned items. That way you can ensure that you never run out of produce, because I would much rather have my clients eating more produce, period, and having a little canned and frozen than running out and not eating it the next day. So I think there's much more benefit to actually just consuming it, whether it's canned or frozen or dried, as opposed to fresh. But then we want to focus again on trying to get as much fresh as possible.
Well, the way he talked about it, it sounded very frightening, like he was trying to frighten everybody and not eating anything out of a can, because whatever the can is finished with was so poisonous. So anyway, I just thank you for your opinion.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other questions are invited, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. If that listener is really concerned, I'd suggest you get in touch with the People's Pharmacy and,
right,
you know, ask them, did you mean to scare us?
And yeah, specifically. I mean, it brings up a good point that some foods don't stay forever in canned products, and they might, you know, degrade after a while, or perhaps the packaging. And so it's a good reminder to make sure that you're trying to keep an idea on, you know, keep a look on the dates on foods. And that's helpful, too.
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, registered dietitian Susan Kundrat of Nutrition on the Move. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon, if you have a question about diet and nutrition. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Also this afternoon, for folks calling in this afternoon to talk with us, we're going to get a name from you and a telephone number, and at the end of the hour, we'll have a little drawing, and the winner of the drawing will receive a copy of Susan's book, 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. Let's go back to the phones now and take another call. A listener on line one in Urbana. Hi.
Hi. I think the previous call deserves a little follow-up, and I think it might be worth Susan's while to go to that website, the People's Pharmacy. What he was talking about was a type of plastic that is a coating on the inside of canned goods, and when that plastic is heated to high temperatures, which it has to be when things are canned, that compound breaks down and goes into the food. I'm not sure I can pronounce the name of the compound. It sounds, well, maybe I better not try. According to him, Japan is the only country that has that does not use this product. And there was a long list of conditions that have been increasing dramatically, like attention deficit disorder, I think they said diabetes, etc. And there's a lot of evidence in animal research. Of course, they haven't done it in humans. But it's worth taking a look, I think.
Yeah, the problem that we're running into here, though, is we didn't hear the program, and so we're at a disadvantage, I mm-hmm. think. So, mm-hmm. But we can take this under advisement, so to speak.
And, yeah. Oh, sure. I'll definitely take a look at that. I think it's something that I would be very interested in learning more about.
Yeah, I think you would.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call this afternoon. Next, we take a call from a listener in Paris, Illinois. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, this is just a continuation of everybody else's questions, and I'm sorry about that. And my concern with the same program was they was talking about this compound, which had some association with hormones, female hormones. The concern that they had that I was going to ask you about was the issue of the clear plastics that this chemical or compound is used in for little children's like sippy cups in their bottles. And the gentleman that was a speaker that day said, you know, if you can get glass, all so much better. But he was also concerned with the big jugs, like we use the 5-gallon jugs that we use to get water and stuff in. And I have a daughter who has a 2-year-old and just had a little boy born two weeks ago, and she uses the plastic bottles like when she sends water for a formula, and whether I should be throwing up some warning flags to her and educating her on that issue or what. So I apologize that this is kind of catching you guys off guard, but if you have any advice, I'd really appreciate it, and I'll hang up and listen online. Thank you.
Well, I think that brings up good points, and I think, you know, in the kind of environmental health idea and community, there is a lot of interest in trying to develop new products and that would not potentially cause problems, in particular plastics that might be better. Or like you mentioned, I mean, we've done this in our own house, is trying to use glass more and trying not to use plastic as much in general. I think there's still a lot we don't know, but I think there's enough concern that we've got to try to figure out more what's happening and be attuned to it. So I don't know that I know the answer to that, whether or not someone should use plastics at all. But I do know that this is something that we're, yeah, you know, concerned about.
I've now gone to the website, and what the People's Pharmacy is saying is the implications for humans are not fully known. They've done some animal studies. So, and this, the program that was on Saturday evening or Saturday afternoon at 5, that was the first in a 2-part series on endocrine disruption. So part 2 will be coming up this coming Saturday. And you can hear these programs online at thepeoplespharmacy.com, www.peoplespharmacy.com. So we'll leave it there for the moment. Next, we go on to another listener, a caller in Mahomet, line 2. Hi.
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 Interesting show. I wondered if she could speak to just plain old cutting calories in inventive ways. I swear, the older I get, the bigger I get. And I know I need more exercise, but let's hear what she has to say about the average diet and cutting some.
Sure.
Thank you.
I will give you 10 ways. How about that? At least 10 ways to cut 100 calories. You know, there's a big push right now looking at whether it's from the healthy, the weight control registry. Some of you may be familiar with that. There's a national weight control registry that's out of Colorado, where they're actually looking at a lot of longer term, shorter term now, but eventually longer term studies, particularly with people who have lost weight and kept it off. And what have they been able to do in the real, real life? What kinds of things have they done? And a lot of it is certainly being more active than we are. Like you mentioned, you need more exercise. You don't really even have to think about it as exercise. It's really more activity. I think the idea of just moving your body more is so important. Even little things. For example, one of these days, I guess it was Saturday, when the weather was a little warm enough, I guess, for people to be out in the car washes. And I wished I'd had my camera with me, because as I drove by one of the main car washes in town, there was a line of about 10 cars in the two lanes where you just drive through to have your car mm-hmm. washed. And there were 3 open slots where you actually wash your own car. using the sprayer. And not that that's going to burn a lot of calories, but I used mine, I washed mine yesterday using the sprayer, and you probably burn 100 or 150 calories because that's kind of powerful and you have to do that. So if you're able to do it yourself and use that brush and get going, you're going to burn some calories. But it kind of, it struck me how no one was washing their own car, and that's a little thing to do. It's kind of like raking or things that people blow the leaves but don't rake it anymore. So I think the idea of being more active in your day is probably the most important thing we can do from a calorie burning standpoint. So here's some examples of things you could do to just cut 100 calories in a day. Food-wise, you could use mustard instead of mayonnaise on a sandwich. That'll cut 100 calories. Trying light or fat-free salad dressing. Or make your own salad dressing. I made salad dressing this weekend by using half orange juice and half a light vinaigrette type dressing and mixed it together. So it actually was really good, but very few calories. Substituting Canadian bacon for regular bacon. Eating fresh fruit instead of juice, because juice is great for us, but it is higher calories. So fresh fruit is really helpful there. Maybe drinking club soda with lime instead of regular soda. That's another thing you could do. And then from an activity standpoint, even simple things. Now there's been a lot of research on just how you do your work. You may have seen some of these things on television, on some news shows where they're showing actual work environments where people are working on a treadmill. That's kind of taking it to the extreme. But the idea that you're getting up and down more at work, that you're actually doing some of your work standing up. I've got colleagues who, when they answer the phone now, they get up and they walk back and forth when they're answering the phone. I try to do deep knee bends when I'm talking on the phone. I mean, there are little things that you can do that just give yourself some more activity. And we know that when you space that out throughout the day, every time you're active for even 3 or 4 minutes, your body generates heat and you begin to burn calories at a little bit higher rate. So it may be simple things like that, besides the fact of maybe passing up the big brownie once in a while and things that we can all do, that will be helpful. So it's probably more on the daily basis, because now we almost have to look for these other activity opportunities where it used to be it was just there in our day. And so that seems to be, from the studies, the difference with people. Many people who've lost weight and maintained that weight loss are active an hour and a half to 2 hours every day. And for a lot of us, we'd say, boy, that's a long time to be active. Many people aren't even active 30 minutes a day. And so it does seem to really be related to the level of activity, and then monitoring total fat intake. So, for example, if someone is eating a lot of fried food and you just go to grilled chicken breast versus fried, that drops 200 or 300 calories off a sandwich. So simple things, having the apples instead of French fries if you go out for lunch every day, will drop another 200 calories. And so right there, you've got almost a pound a week of weight loss just by going to grilled foods. And so that's another thing that's helpful. One more thing I'll mention, because I think it's very interesting, is we have had some studies now on breakfast eaters versus non-breakfast eaters. And, you know, people who tend to eat breakfast every day and start their body nourished often maintain weight loss much better or maintain a lower body weight. And many of my clients will tell me they don't want to eat breakfast because then they feel hungry the rest of the day. And I tell them that's a good sign, because if you're hungry, your body's actually burning calories. That means your body's working. And then we just got to make sure we're fueling appropriately throughout the day. But eating more times a day and starting with breakfast for many people will really be helpful with weight loss, because you just have more energy. So you can be more active when you've got fuel in your body.
Yeah, and keeping a journal for a few days is what you are consuming, and look at it and go, oh, I could cut here, I could cut there,
right.
I could walk at the mall, I like this activity,
right.
I'll go bowling, I'll vacuum.
Yeah.
Well, all right, not so much fun,
yeah.
But
it
that,
is exercise.
Oh, it sure is. Lugging that thing around. So there's a couple of
right.
ideas. And what about, one, I think people have a problem in terms of, you know, if we're such creatures of habit, and who was it we had on the show recently? If you do something for 21 days, it's likely to stick with you. So that's another idea. And things that you can, you know, in the refrigerator, if you have a go-to
right.
department.
Right.
So you've got your you've got some apples in the fridge. You've got a light cheese stick. You've got bell
yeah.
peppers sliced up and ready to go.
Yeah. Even a light yogurt cup that's
light
a
yogurt.
One serving that's ready to go, too, I think is very helpful.
Some oranges and some grapefruits in
right.
there, that kind of thing.
if you're and kind of self-assess how you eat. For example, if you're not going to peel an orange, maybe don't buy oranges, or maybe buy tangerines that are easier to peel. Or maybe you buy oranges and you go ahead and just slice them up.
Slice them, yeah.
And so that they're easy to eat. Or you buy grapes because you can wash them and you can have them sitting there in a bowl where you can just grab. Maybe go ahead and cut them into individual servings on the stem so you just know you could go grab one and that's ready to go. There is a lot to be said for that because we all get hungry and we kind of want a snack. And I think the other thing is planning ahead. Someone asked me a little bit ago about what would they take if you're traveling on a plane, what kind of foods would be helpful. And there are some new bars out now that are fiber bars, but they actually taste really good. So they're maybe 9 or 10 grams of fiber. And just having something like that with you when you're on an airplane maybe is the one thing that will prevent you from getting the Lay's potato chips that they sell for $3 on the plane. So both are going to probably fill you up very similarly, but the fiber is going to stay with you longer and you pre-planned,
yeah.
So it makes it easier.
My husband has lost some weight in the last couple of years, and he's done it very simply by these little things. What he's done is he used to eat sugared cereal in the morning,
and
he cut that out, so he went to something without any sugar on it. He dropped honey from his tea.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a teaspoon of honey, you know, if you have 4 or 5 cups of tea.
Exactly.
Adds up. So,
exactly.
And he's also, I don't know why this is. Maybe you can talk about this, but it seems if you break things down and have a good snack, you're more likely to keep it off.
I think so, too. I think some of that is we know, again, eating throughout the day, not eating so much at one time, helps your body maintain lean body mass. And that's what we're finding. It's all about maintaining your muscle while you drop body fat and hopefully preventing loss of muscle mass. And the longer we go, if your body's going to need amino acids or the breakdown products of protein to do something in the body, and you haven't eaten for a long time, it's going to look for it somewhere in the body, primarily muscle. And so fueling more times a day allows your body to maintain better fitness, and we tend to not get as hungry. I mean, the idea of I always with my clients try to plan a snack. If they're working till 5 or 6, you plan a snack at work maybe at 3. And so at least you've had a little something. You come home and you're not starving. We all know that feeling of coming home and feeling like it doesn't really matter what I eat as long as I get full. And then you can't make good decisions on what you're eating when you're that hungry. So the afternoon snack idea is a really good one. And I think that plays to some of the myths. One other thing the American Dietetic Association talks about during this nutrition month is helping clients understand what is myth and what is true about food. And there's so many myths about there. And one of them is don't eat snacks. I think there was one study where people lost more weight if they just had their set meals. But we have a lot of studies to indicate most people do better eating throughout the day, particularly if you are active, because you don't want to get so hungry that you can't be active to the level that you want.
Chips and dip is a snack, but so too is an apple with a little peanut butter. So
depends on the snack.
Yeah, that's right. So let's take another call now. A listener on a cell phone, line 1. Hi, you're on the air with registered dietitian Susan Kundrat.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Quick question. Do you have some specific tips for young athletes? I'm thinking my daughter, early teens, who trains for her sports pretty frequently. What sort of modifications or supplements to her diet would you recommend? And I'll just hang up. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Well, a couple things to think about. One is to make sure that she would get more energy early in the day. And many, many middle school, high school, young athletes really, I find, don't eat enough early in the day. For example, they might have a quick breakfast or not have any breakfast, maybe a quick lunch, and then they're practicing after school for 2 hours. And so they're practicing on this energy deficit where we want to have more fuel earlier in the day so that by the time they get to practice, they've got a lot on board. They're really ready to have a really good, strong practice and hopefully have fewer injuries and be able to do things with more precision, which is important to avoiding injuries as well as just playing well and just having more energy. I think a lot of athletes stop playing sports because they don't think it's fun anymore, and it might not be fun because they're not eating enough. You know, they just might not feel good playing. And so that might be something you could focus on with her, is trying to say, well, if she does have a bowl of cereal in the morning, could you add a slice of toast with peanut butter? You know, that would give you a little protein and some fat that'll stick with her a little bit longer. She's drinking something. Could you make sure it's, you know, juice or milk or something with some good nutrition and some extra calories in the morning? And that might be helpful, planning in a good lunch and maybe even just making sure she has in her bag even something simple like an energy bar, granola bar that she could have right after school before practice so that she just feels really energized throughout the day. The other thing that I think is underestimated is the protein needs that young athletes have. We know protein needs are increased when someone is gaining muscle, and often our middle school, high school athletes are getting stronger. So they are gaining muscle. They're growing along with trying to get stronger as an athlete. And so we try to make sure that, you know, if an athlete's body is 150 pounds, then we might get at least 100 grams of protein in there, or a good two-thirds their body weight. And often that's not being consumed either, especially if you've got an athlete who's not eating meat at lunch, maybe not getting much protein at breakfast, and they may or may not have protein at night. It's very easy to go all day and not get enough. And then an athlete can't really meet their potential strength-wise. And so that would be something I'd look at, too. Maybe you'll get lucky and you'll win my book, because there's all kinds of tips in there. That would be good, too.
But 101 Sports Nutrition Tips.
I would direct you to a really good website, too. The Gatorade Sports Science Institute. We've all seen these ads on TV where they do the sweat testing on athletes and things. But there's tons of good information on there. There's a lot of handouts on sports nutrition, tips on pre- and post-game nutrition, hydration, you know, better foods to choose and that kind of stuff. It's not all about sport drinks. And so that's gssiweb.org. So gssiweb.org. And you can just search on that website and pull down all kinds of materials. There's an area you can look for handouts, and that's something I'd recommend too.
Okay. And in the backpack, what works really well? You mentioned granola bars, and, and there are a number of them that are healthy choices. You got to really watch the labels, but and you could have a wide variety of those, so every day it wasn't the same thing. But what are some other things besides a granola bar? A piece of fruit.
Trail mix is great.
Trail mix.
Because that's
small
a natural
box of raisins.
Small box of raisins. Other dried fruits in general are really good. Just even peanuts. Sunflower seeds are great because they've got some protein and some good fat in there, too. You know, even things like cheese sticks, if you've got an ability to keep it in something cooler during the day, works really well. And peanut butter is great. So, like, peanut butter, even you put peanut butter in a little container and graham crackers. And that works really well to have a snack right after school that a lot of kids like. And I like the little even 4-ounce juice boxes. If you know, if you're concerned it's not too many calories, get a 4-ounce juice box or an 8-ounce juice box, and those are very portable and can work well. I think the main thing before exercise, we certainly need to be fueled during the day, but we need a little extra carbohydrate before we exercise, typically, particularly kids, because they're not storing that much. And so that's where a juice box is great, or a piece of fruit, an apple, something that's, you know, can certainly be in your bag all day, no problem, so that they can get that in and get some more fuel.
Okay, very good. This is the Afternoon Magazine. You're tuned to AM 580. We're also online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn, our guest this afternoon, registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. She joins us once a month, usually on the first Monday of the month, to talk about diet and nutrition. If you've got a question, give us a call. Talk to Susan. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Folks calling in this afternoon, we're getting a name and a number, a first name and a telephone number for you. And at the end of the hour, we're going to put all the names in that proverbial hat and draw one out, and the winner will receive a copy of Susan's book, 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. Susan is a sports and wellness nutritionist, and she specializes in developing personalized nutrition plans for athletes and the general public as well. She's an adjunct lecturer with the Food Science and Human Nutrition Department at the University of Illinois here in Urbana-Champaign. You'll find her on the web at www.nutritiononthemove.net. Well, I brought in something with me this afternoon that I thought was really interesting, and now I've seen a couple of different versions of this story in the newspapers, and this is about something that is called nutrient profiling. Have you heard about this?
It's
very interesting.
I have heard a bit about it.
What researchers are doing is they're using a mathematical formula or formulae. They're calculating things that are in foods, and then what they want to do is they want to score the stuff that's on the shelves in the grocery store. And if this all works out, it could be a big help to people.
Be very big help. And I think it sounds, too, with what I've read about it, we're kind of moving towards where we could maybe get into a grocery store, and if you've got some particular concern that you're very worried about in terms of how you're eating, cardiovascular health, for example, or cholesterol lowering, maybe particular foods you would be able to find more easily that would help you meet your particular nutrient goals or what you're looking for there, too.
Yeah, because we all know, as we've been talking about here, that, you know, fruit and vegetables, of course.
Right.
They're five stars,
they're
right?
No-brainers, yeah.
Okay, but then what about all the other things that are in the store? You know, I mean, you go to the fruit aisle, I mean, not the produce department, but you go and you want to get some applesauce or
right.
You want to get some mandarin oranges or something that's, you know, how do you make sense of all that? And then, you know, then you move on to, you know, frozen dinners or mm-hmm. cereals and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be very interesting. And I guess it's not totally all worked out yet, but there are a couple of different organizations working on this and a couple of different ways of figuring this out. There's an ONQI, that's how you pronounce it, but that's the ONQI, the Overall Nutrition Quality Index. And then that's one. And then there's another kind of way of people are working on this. It's called Guiding Stars. So I guess we should keep an eye out for that. In the meantime, why don't we take another call? A listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi. I was calling about high fiber diets. I listened to a show on WILL last summer or sometime, I think, and they were talking about the benefits of high fiber. So I've been trying to do as much of that as I can. What do you think about those sorts of diets?
I think a high fiber diet is very important for a lot of things. We always used to think about it to prevent constipation and keep good GI health and decrease your risk of colon cancer. And some of those studies aren't quite as clear as we originally thought, but we do know just for so many benefits, particularly even now we're learning more about fiber and cholesterol reduction and fiber and blood sugar regulation and how high fiber might be linked to lower blood pressure and all kinds of things. And plus the fact, what we've talked about today, just more fiber, typically we feel more satisfied. So we feel more full. And when you've got more fiber, you've got more bulk in your diet, which allows you to eat more food but not have as many calories. So I think there are so many benefits. And the simplest way to do that, I mean, I try to look in my diet and say, well, what are easy ways to get just a lot of fiber at one time? One is a real high-fiber cereal in the morning, because there are so many now that are 5, 6, 7, 8 or more grams of fiber that taste good. So that's an easy way to start your day. You add a fresh fruit with that, and you could get 10 grams of fiber easily in the morning. We really want to shoot for 25 to 35 grams a day. And other things, some of these bars that are out there, some of the high-fiber bars are 9 or 10 grams. So that's a simple 150 calories. Maybe mixed with the fruit gives you a good snack that gives a third of your fiber needs. And then just looking at ways to change over from, a lot of people have already done this, maybe whole wheat bread versus white bread, or having brown rice versus white rice, or having whole wheat pasta versus white pasta. Those are simple things. And then I think one place people underestimate the benefit is beans and peas. So lentils, dried beans and peas, chili beans, those things, because they're so high in fiber. And there are things that a lot of people like anyway, they just don't mm-hmm. eat that much of. And they're very inexpensive, too. So there really are a lot of easy ways, plus just bumping up produce, where you could get the 25, 30, 35 grams of fiber a day, just a few things in your day that you could maybe tweak, because we have so many options of getting a lot at one time now that we didn't used to have.
I found some fiber bars that are really, really good, Fiber One mm-hmm. bars, and they are just delicious.
Right. I love Fiber One bars. I probably eat one of those every day. They're
yeah.
just, they're a simple way. Again, those, I believe, are 9 grams of fiber.
Exactly, and I have that for my dessert at night, mm-hmm. and I feel like, wow, I've had a candy bar, but
yeah.
it's 9 grams of fiber.
People may shy away from those when they see the Fiber One sign, but actually the taste is much better than anticipated, I would say.
It's excellent, yeah. So, and a high-fiber cereal I go with, too, but I have a tendency to let down at night, and that's why I was thinking if there was things that you could have for dinner that are more high fiber than, you know, mm-hmm. normal meat and potatoes or something
right.
like that.
Bean soups and bean chilies.
Right. Just using, even if you added a vegetarian main dish at night 2 or 3 times a week, that often doesn't necessarily add fiber, but certainly if you're adding more beans along with that, black beans and rice, for example, mm-hmm. instead of meat, well, then you've really increased your fiber. The other thing that I like to have clients try at night is maybe if they've got their main protein, they add 2 vegetables at night, every night, because we often don't get that many veggies during the day. So if you're going to have broccoli, you're still going to have something like steamed carrots. And it may look funny to us at first because we're not used to eating 2 vegetables, but then you've increased fiber tremendously and decreased your total calories. So that's a simple thing to kind of incorporate. 2 veggies every night, very easy too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So you don't have to decide peas or carrots. You can just have peas and carrots.
That's right. Both very high
good.
Fiber.
Yeah. And barley is another good thing. I know some people maybe don't care for it. What are some other grains that maybe don't automatically come mm-hmm. to mind?
Well, things like whole wheat couscous, for example, which you can find a lot of places now. Quinoa, which is another grain that's more fiber and more protein. Like you say, barley's good. Bulgur is another one. Or even a lot of places you can get wheat berries or rye berries, which you wouldn't normally think about, but they have to cook a little bit longer. But they're another good option. You just put them in a little bit of bouillon and cook them for an hour or so, and they're very good. They're very chewy, and another option for a real high-fiber grain as well. And now in the grocery stores, you'll find whole wheat bagels and high extra-fiber bread that's 5 and 6 grams of fiber per slice. So I feel like it's a great time to eat more fiber. I mean, there are so many easy ways to do it.
Here's a question for you. How about a low-fat? Do you have a recipe for a low-fat hummus?
Yes, and I can tell you, I just made it with a group of my athletes at the U of I recently. So a very simple way to do it is you just take chickpeas. You could take a can of chickpeas and drain them.
Rinse them off
and drain them. And then you add, I can't remember how much tahini, maybe a couple tablespoons of tahini. And then you add maybe a tablespoon of lemon juice and just a tablespoon of olive oil. And you could also add garlic, maybe a teaspoon of the garlic or even the jarred garlic mm-hmm. that you can add, and just throw that together in a food processor. And it's very low fat. The fat that's in there is going to be olive oil fat, but you don't mm-hmm. have to put very much in it. And then you get the tanginess from the lemon juice and tahini. And so it works really well together. And that, again, is such a great option. High fiber, high protein, high nutrient. You've got vitamin C in that lemon juice, which helps you absorb the iron that's in the beans. So you've got a lot of things going for you with that.
Yeah. I saw a recipe. I'm looking forward to trying it. It is with beans that are cooked or, you know, come out of the can and rinse them off and that kind of thing. But or, you know, make your own, soak them and fix them up. And then just mash them a little bit and put some whatever your favorite kind of seasoning is, a little mm-hmm. bit of that. Avoiding the salt
mm-hmm.
and mash them up a little bit, dice up some cherry tomatoes.
Oh yeah.
And just put that together and then put that on a cracker.
Sounds great.
So there you go.
Sounds very good. Makes me want to chop up an avocado and put in it.
There you go.
But
that
more
would be
fat,
good too.
Although it's good fat.
Yeah, yeah. So then, you know, just got then the trick is, you know, finding the piece of. Now, how are pitas in terms of calories? A little pita or
pitas are great. I would look for whole wheat pitas, whole wheat pita
okay.
bread.
Or, yeah, some other low fat, mm-hmm. high fiber cracker. I know Rye Crisp comes to mind.
Yeah, wasa or Rye Crisp.
And then, you know, those things on their own are kind of not the greatest thing, but if you've got something flavorful on top of it.
Right. That's a good mix.
Yeah. Good mix. Okay. We're coming close to wrapping things up here. Anything else you want to leave us with this afternoon?
Well, I brought something that can be a follow-up from last time. I think last time we got excited about red cabbage.
Oh, we did. And then we left it off the table here. Okay.
And this was actually on February 28th. There was a new review that just came out from the Agricultural Research Service, where they do a lot of the studies on different foods. And this was at the research center in Beltsville, Maryland. And they're actually looking very closely at red cabbage. And because what they found is that red cabbage actually the same amount of red cabbage versus just taking, for example, vitamin C tablets, the same nutrients, yields twice the antioxidant power. And that red cabbage, in their studies, they've actually identified 36 different antioxidants in red cabbage. So we talked about how it's healthy, and evidently it's even more healthy than we had first imagined. So I think it's a food that's being looked at very closely. We hear a lot about broccoli and tomatoes and these different foods, but now it seems that red cabbage is being studied quite closely by these
researchers. It's so good when it's braised.
It is. Very good.
It's delicious. Well, there we'll wrap it up, and I hope we'll see you in April, huh?
Sounds good.
Okay, very good. Susan Kundrat has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. She's a registered dietitian. She joins us once a month, usually on the first Monday of the month, to talk about diet and nutrition. You'll find her on the web at www.nutritiononthemove.net. She's also the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. The publisher for that book is Coach's Choice, and we'll be giving one of those books away a little bit later this afternoon.